Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we accept the presence of the Holy Spirit this evening, knowing that you have come down to us, even as you came down to Paul, to bring the word coming down at the end time, to bring a revelation, that same word, to put it all in place, to rightly divide it, to put the church in order. All of these things, Lord, we know are not only at hand, much has already taken place, some will yet take place. Then the raising of the dead, the changing of people, catching away to the marriage supper. All these things we know, Lord. We see the handwriting on the wall. We see time running out. We thank you for it, O God. We praise you for your blessed Spirit, cheering us on, giving us hope and expectation, Lord, as never before. Bless each one in divine presence. May we all come to a greater knowledge of thy truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on Jezebel religion number 7. And we concluded on page 16, I believe it was paragraph 77, where Brother Branham was condemning organization because it is a man-made system. And he says there, which we'll read shortly, God is against all organizations, and the reasons for it are very, very evident. Now, I'm sort of going to say some things that Brother Branham didn't say, and why I'm against organized religion. But you'll see them in this message as we go along. These various reasons are brought out. Now, an organization is a society of two or more members who enunciate a common aim or purpose and pledge themselves in some degree to abide by the rules and principles that they foster, which foster, of course, the aim or purpose of that organization. One, they believe in something, and they pledge themselves to it. They make their stand on it as an ultimate, and then they will do something about it, number two. Now, this union of members is not only for a purpose of a common mind, but the strength and influence that the weight of sheer numbers gives to them. What one person cannot accomplish, many can, or usually can. When one person cannot be felt, many can be felt. 100 people separately are not counted able to do what 100 people in unison can do. And when it comes to society, which is absolutely understood to be involved in civil affairs, as society involves itself in civil affairs, a large vote will be catered to. Even Jimmy Jones got handshaked by Carter and Mrs. Carter and all the liberal Democrats and the rest, you know, and the freeloaders and the free thinkers and the God knows what they were. They were whoremongers, a lot of them. And because he could deliver a big vote, they just loved him. So you see what I'm talking about. Now, thus any organization that produces enough influence can and will mold the laws and therefore society. Thus the influence they exist will be primarily a benefit to them and secondly to others. Now you see what we're looking at. These are do-gooders. And do-gooders usually account themselves to be the intelligentsia. And of course those under them are very nice people, but they got to be controlled. So therefore, they superimpose their will upon the people. And this cannot be done short of an absolute dictatorship, which itself cannot stand without a society. There is no such thing as not having some society or some organization. So what you see here then, what we have set forth, is why an organization is absolutely against the will and the mind of God. Now, let's go back to Scripture and begin to trace it through just a little bit so we know what we are actually looking at. You know what's in my mind as I am going into these things with you. All right, in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Okay, reading on. 28, 29. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Then in Genesis 2, 7 to 9, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God of every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil were there also. It doesn't say they came out of the ground, doesn't say they were good for food. In fact, one was poison. It wasn't good for food, so it couldn't have come out of the ground. All right, we go to 16:17, the same chapter. And it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day of the eating thereof dying thou dost surely die. Okay. Chapter 3, 8-19. Want to read it. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called on them, and Adam said unto them, where art thou? And God said unto them, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. For on that belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, which bruise thine head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. On the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sore and thy conception. Sore shalt thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be unto thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree, which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curse the ground for thy sake, and sore shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Now, from this you will notice that three persons were involved. In the beginning, God, and then Adam and Eve. Now, this is the first society on earth. There are three persons, but notice it is a dictatorship with all laws coming from God. This is a theocratic sovereign government with this society here of persons, just the three of them. And what God has in mind is the perpetuation of this society in the form of its original existence, wherein the God's government would be beneficently imposed or granted to every one of his sons. Now, you'll notice in this original society, the two people have no impact as to the formulation or origin of purpose, aim, or principle. They have nothing to do with it. They will participate in it, but they have nothing to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? They had no input. They didn't have a thing coming. Right? All right. But they are a functioning part of it due to the grace of God, who has their welfare at heart, even immortality. Here they are in a heaven on earth, a part of God's government. Now, that's exactly scriptural, because God's government was upon earth in the Garden of Eden. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, your government be upon earth. In other words, a society which has been created and generated by God and completely amenable to Almighty God, who is the beneficent Creator Father. But there is no organization as such. They are free moral agents with divine help to pursue and to accomplish, because that is what is set forth here. They can believe the Rhema Logos God with His Word as the aim and purpose and fulfillment of life, or they can leave it. Now, that's given to them to do so. Enter the beast, the serpent, the tool of the devil. He immediately begins to organize the two earthly members of this society by suggesting what all organizations must suggest, or there wouldn't be an organization, and that is, things are good, but we can make it better for you, and consequently for others. In other words, it's a shell game. It's a hoax. It's a lie. Just think about it. Organization always play up benefits, even though none ever pay off in eternal dividends or even material dividends, for the simple reason the first organization of the human race for any purpose, even to fulfill God's own word, as in the case of Adam and Eve, ended in death. And all end short of their aims because God did not say it. That's why America is in the shape she's in today. See? You notice that Adam and Eve were not organized by God. Then Satan organized them against God. Just one word off. Now this influences them, and note carefully, all succeeding members of the human earthly race. In other words, they have an influence. You bet they do. Instead of life, it was death, and instead of life, it is still death. Only God is able, with good intent, to fulfill or accomplish a purpose. Everything else deteriorates and goes down the drain. Notice again, and with greater understanding, the first organization of an entire society brought death. So what will the last great one of Revelation 13 do? Which is the whole earth is organized under a dictatorship where everybody knows this is for the welfare of the people. And remember, the good of many is more important than the good of one. And the benefit of many can only be brought to pass or into effect when the many pull together to see that it's done. And of course, if someone has the power to fool them, like Plato said, the best type of government is benevolent dictatorship. If you can fool them to that end, that one person can and will do it, they'll let him do it. You watch what happens. It ends in total death. And that's exactly what Revelation 13 tells you, Revelation 20 and so on. It's the second death. It's the white throne. It's the lake of fire. It ends in annihilation. All right. At this point, the human mind or human reasoning, Satan's Eden mind, denies it and says, not all organizations, just some. Now, that's a lie. Every single organization fails. Because the originators cannot perpetuate themselves continuously. They can't do it. There's only one irrevocable word that is backed up, and that is by God, and men don't want to look at it. Adam himself did not look at it. Eve did not pay attention. They were open to destruction. So let's go back to Roman Nicaea. What about that? They instituted an infallible pope and a church that knows it is wrong, but blacks out in the rage of Cain when it is reproved. You don't tell me the Roman Catholic Church doesn't know it's wrong. Come on, there's Roman Catholics sitting here. Were you ever fooled at one time to ever believe in your heart that Rome had the right to kill Protestants? Now, if it did, it tells you exactly what spirit you're of. So just listen carefully, some of you Roman Catholics. Not trying to hit you, let you know what you came out of. In her is found all the blood of all the martyrs. That predates Rome. It goes right back to Babylon. So I ask you a question. What's in Rome, Babylon, which is idolatry, which goes back to woman? Even the Jews believe women take superior position over the men. Because if you have a Jewish mother, you're supposed to be a Jew. That's a lot of hogwash. You can see where they've gone to. So, remember that Cain's sacrifice was excellent. So I don't care, even at the end time, though John marveled at the system, how tremendous and wonderful it was still an error. Because organization is of the devil. God did not organize his children. He gave them himself with his word and a free moral agency to take the word and live or to turn the word down. Now, the point is tonight, can you live apart from a vindicated word? You're dead. With a vindicated word, you're alive. Well, let's understand what we're talking about. This message is all about, because too many people don't. So, what is so wrong? The church organizes on what it believes to be the truth. And perhaps at that time it was the truth. But you see now something comes in. The people want man's laws made by man. That's what happened. And you know what happens when you turn down God's laws? Satan's Eden comes right in, the part of man, the mental part, the mental conception, and that's right there becomes Satan's Eden. So just as soon as you turn down God's word, you come right into organization. The headship is of the devil, so you've got many, many facets all coming to one headship. Now, people can tell you there's many churches all hitting up in Christ. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There is no Methodist church, no Presbyterian church, no Nazarene, no Pentecostal, no Roman, no Greek Catholic. There's none of those churches heading up into Christ. It's a lie from the pit of hell. They're gone. Their organizations will not work with God. So you see, now something the people want. And it becomes man's laws made by man. Like Brother Branham said, man's laws made by men and for men. The organizing of truth becomes creeds and dogmas. And no new light is allowed, or you are a heretic. If you desire to walk in future light, they'll throw you out of the church, they'll even kill you. The Catholic Church has done that for years, and the Protestants are no different because they simply make it a point of disfellowship. What does it matter how you're bumped off? You're in the darkness as far as they're concerned. On top of that, the church is now the ultimate. And if it decides to change the articles or reinterpret them, it will. And that's what it's been doing. The plan of God was God himself leading man, and man rules over nature, and thus nature and all is led by God. God rules the prophet, puts his word in the prophet's mouth, and the word comes from the prophet to the people, and thereby God governs. There is no organization, because organization is not of God. It is not the door that opens or shuts to heaven as people try to make it. Now, you all know we could go on and on, but it will never convince anyone who is of an opposite mind to not understand what happened in the Garden of Eden. Only the elect will understand. Organization is definitely of the devil. Churches have crowned Satan. The beast in the garden is now the beast in Laodicea. Eve was naked in the garden, although she was pure at that time, but she was corrupted in the very government of Almighty God under God's nose. So what do you think the devil's going to do? Stand outside the church and say, "Can I come in? I'm the devil." You got to be sick. Now think it over. Eve, right in Eden. Her husband out there pruning some bushes, maybe. Or telling the fishes to move a certain area. Walking and talking with God. The beast comes in. She's fully naked, but she's morally sound. She's innocent. And right there in God's government, she's seduced. That's what happened in the early church. That's what happens in every church. Organization. He said, "Hey, listen, we can bring the word of God to pass. We can make this a better thing for you." And I'll show you how it's done. Isn't that seduction? Take it right back to sex. You'll see the whole picture. There isn't any difference because that's what it is. Eve naked, then corrupted. She is naked now and fully deceived and corrupted, spiritually and physically. The church is allowing the homosexual preachers and the homosexual people in. That's an open invitation for every church to be fully loaded with disease. As I said last week, which is completely true, if you can sneeze in somebody's face or cough in somebody's face when you got tuberculosis, that person gets tuberculosis. How do they get it? From the germ-laden sputum, from the nostrils or the mouth. And you tell me you can't get AIDS the same way? You're sick. You deserve to get it. That's a shocker. You think, "Leave your meat." No, I'm just trying to wake you up to know. Listen, you don't think you're out here indulging premarital sex and all that kind of stuff and not get loaded up? You didn't even get it by... Pretty soon the mosquitoes will carry it because all they've got to do is have an enzyme break it down to where they can carry it. Nature's not under control of man anymore, except in the sense of being of derogating it and bringing it down to a place of final destruction and putrefaction and God knows what. See? But there is no way Eve was going to believe that she's corrupted already. She's not going to do it. See? She knows it not. And she doesn't even want to know. And it'd be too late to tell her. Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America any longer. All right, getting back to paragraph 77, page 16. See what man-made systems bring you into. Hallelujah, that's true. That's the reason I'm against it, because God's word is against it. Man-made system, God's against it. His word's against it. His prophets will be against it. His true servants will be against it. And all that's born of the Spirit will be against it. Now, that's organization, what she's talking about, established religion. Because what is established religion? The only established religion, if you want to put it down flat, is vindicated truth. And you know that's scarcer than hen's teeth. And when it comes on the market, nobody buys hen's teeth. Who wants the truth? They've got it all figured out. Who lies in the lap of the wicked one? See? Look how Israel got. How they floated with the tide till finally Jezebel came. Now he's telling what America did. They began to drift. They let down the bars. They let down the bars. They let down the bars. Now remember, in the very beginning, even there was a mixed multitude in America, just the same as came out of Egypt. No different. As Israel fled from persecution, they wanted sanctity. They wanted safety. They were fleeing from the dictatorships. Yet at the same time, there were men there who were free thinkers. In the early part of Israel, men like Thomas Paine and others. Benjamin Franklin was no born-again man. His morals were pretty scuzzy. You see, he wasn't a real believer. Sin is unbelief. Why does a man commit adultery? Because you're not a believer. There's nothing settled in him. The wicked like their troubled seas. They cast up dirt and mire. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So they're trying to find something. So the mixed multitude came here. But the people that really wanted it right were those that came over here in order to escape the hierarchy in Europe, the dictatorial measures which were in government and in all forms of society, particularly religion. Now they begin to float and get away from it. Like, try to go back to the Constitution. That's stupid. Because nobody wants a Constitution. They said that was okay for the old fogies, like the bun on the back of your mother's head and the street sweeper skirts. And the decency she had. Well, that's for old fogies. We don't look with those eyes anymore. So the Constitution is not a true instrument anymore. That's what they tell you. And there's no precedent in the law courts. Go and try to file something in the court. They'll hide it under the table until you're dead and your kids are dead. Try to get it out. The government does the same thing. They table it. Try to get it out. Oh, I thank God there's a God in heaven who's letting it all out this hour. He's going to destroy all those people that destroyed the earth and made mock of his word. And I'd be a sinner if I didn't rejoice with God. I'd be calling God some kind of a fool and taking sides with the devil. My Bible says rejoice when all these things take place. Look at Mary, how she got floated with the worldly tide until finally Jezebel took the throne. That's right. Now, Jezebel actually wasn't on the throne of Israel, but she was the main head behind the throne, like the neck that turned the head. In other words, she came in there clandestinely. She didn't say, hey, I'm going to come and take over. She was smart. She married the guy, and they became one. So that everything he stood for, she stood with him. Now, he's got to stand for her, whether the public knows it or not. So Ahab will say, well, I'm a true Israelite, bless God. Now, John Kennedy, I'm a true American, bless God. I'm a Catholic, second, third, or fourth. Even the Catholics will tell you they'd have voted for Al Smith, but not that scuzzy John Kennedy. He didn't have any morals. He's completely amoral, just like the Roosevelts and the rest of them. Didn't have any morals. That's what the Catholic Church breeds anyway. How can you breed morals on an ungodly formulation of the Christian religion and heathenism put into one? See, history knows that. So anyway, he identified himself with her in marriage, and she, as an equal rights proponent, began to want her rights. Which he said, okay, go ahead. Now he says here, and the Catholic hierarchies, not on the throne of the United States, but she's the system behind it because he is married to her. Now remember, wherever Rome went with her influence, the counts and the dukes and the earls, the kings, were pawns to the Catholic Church. And it was only the grace of God that allowed Luther to have strong friends amongst the counts or the dukes, whatever they were in Germany, the princely people, that withstood Rome with their armies, or Rome would have had a heyday coming in and burning Luther at the stake and shouting glory all the way back and forth to Mass, and then selling more indulgences so you could kill, say, well, I want to kill a few guys. Okay, it's going to cost you a few thousand dollars. Now, what about you Catholics sitting here, former Catholic? Do you know that happened? Did your Catholic priest tell you that? No, he wouldn't tell you that. But they now let the cat out of the bag and say that Pope John, what was he, the 23rd, the original sweet old boy? If he had been Pope instead of Leo, there would not have been a break. Oh, God have pity. You see those liars? Come right out and lie about it. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of man. There's no fear at all because they don't even listen to their own history books. Protestants are no better because they're the old whore's daughters. Yeah, right down the line. You see, Rome has her legal envoys, so-called. They're illegal. America's Constitution demands we separate absolutely from religion. A wise book. Why did all our presidents run and kiss the Pope's toe? How come he dare came here to America? But before he came, there was a blackout. There's a blackout ever since, starting with John F. Kennedy. Now, the Bible said in this country they'd make an image likened unto the beast. That's exactly right. Started back in about a little before 1960 to bring the thing really into a powerful demonstration. Now, watch this beast. Watch what she's like. The Pope stands up and says, I'm the moral conscience of the world. But if Saddam gets in our way, we'll crush him. Well, that's sensible. Because that's the spirit of Rome. That's the spirit of Babylon. You just crush everything and take control. Now, remember, the lamb that came up, the beast that came up was like a lamb, and he had two horns, civil and ecclesiastical. When it got to the place where it could talk like a lion, it talked like a lion. Now watch America. America is a stinking, as low-down, hypocritical nation in the world, because even today, it is top dog. And it looks down its nose, and it preaches a moral that itself does not believe in or want to keep. Boy, they say, look, we're going to go there to the Gulf because Kuwait is a little tiny nation, and we just can't stand tyrants. Remember, our great forefathers, they left Europe because of tyranny. And bless God, we Americans, we are here because we're anti-tyranny. You ever heard you bunking all your life? You're down there for the oil. Remember, they made the golden calf, and it's under the image that we make because of our currency and what we have done controlling world commerce that makes it easy when the gold system comes in under Rome to completely take over. So why are they down there? They're down there because of financial benefits and for no other reason. He has literally declared war on Hussein. He has no right to do it because Congress alone has the right. But because he had put in some little frittery thing back there in the day of Roosevelt, and also the time, I guess, of, Kennedy had it right down the line, a little executive privilege. Now your Constitution's down the drain. And so America stands up with its head of Bush. And what is he? He's sort of a misnomer. He's got us all Bush, I guess. Maybe that's the term for it. But he's made a complete mess of everything. Sent armies down there, and the nation not even behind him. Another Vietnam's in sight. You read your papers the same as I do. Likened unto the beast, it spouts great morals. Look how it talks about the black people over there in Africa. What did it do for the black people here? Yeah. I had a good black friend named Frank Proctor, back in 1953, I guess it was, or four. We were up here in Indiana. They wouldn't let him come in the restaurant. I got so mad I could have blown the restaurant up. got very, very strong for all the colors and everything else. I was in Canada. We didn't have any colors I could afford. I could afford to be happy with black, greens, pinks, and you name it, and whites and everybody else. Come down here, saw the condition. But what have they done for the blacks? They've done everything they can except help them to raise themselves, and you can't help the black people and the yellow people and the green people raise themselves unless there's a program instituted that helps them to do it. And that's not a dole system. America talks about how they're beaten down there, how they're beaten down here. What has America done for them? What have they done for the Indians? Destroyed the Indians. Locked them on reservation where they become boontowns. But they're the moral conscience of the world. That's Catholicism. That never was Protestantism. So there aren't any Protestants left. You think you are? I read it, Bishop Archbishop Runchy said, gravely impairs our ability to reclaim for Christ's gospel a continent which is fast losing its Christian soul. We cannot discover European unity without reapportioning Europe's Christian roots. And then he said, we've got to go back to the primacy of the Pope. In other words, kill him. Talk morals, but kill him. Yeah, America talks, hey, you got to keep those kids from disgraceful, illegal sex and make everything possible for them. What? Oh, come on. Can't you see what Brother Branham preached here? America stinks. Amen. Completely a Catholic nation, a Catholic religion that says one thing and does another. Talks about being the vicar of Christ and the vicar of the devil. Talks about the word of God and denies it. Talks about helping people, shoves them all down. Talks about the blacks in Africa, and don't matter what happens over here. Talks about the Jews, then turns it back on the Jews. That's America. They accelerate, they got the Roman Catholic spirit right down to a T. You say what you want about it, I've had my say. Oh, brother, sister, what's the matter? Well, I know what it is. The Bible said they'd get this Laodicean age. And there's where we're at, rich and naked and don't give a rip. Think they got it all. Where do our congressmen think the money's going to come from? Every time they say, well, we're going to cut the deficit, we're going to stop spending. There's hidden things in there that nobody knows about, and the debt keeps going up and up and up. Why? For one reason, pork barrel to get votes. They don't care about running this country. They care about themselves. They're filthy. And they're a priesthood unto the devil. The rest of the world's no better. We're supposed to be the best. At least you men and women here aren't having your daughter's boyfriends come in while they sleep upstairs, daughter, and next morning you bring them up tea and toast. You have a good time last night, kids? That's Sweden. That's Norway, those places. Go on over there and find out. I'll bring you more right in this church and she'll tell you what happened to her brother. A husband who said to his wife, he said, that's not going to happen in my home. It happened in his home. He put his finger against it. His son beat the tar out of him. Threw him out of the house and they're divorced. You think it won't come here? You're sick if you think it won't. That's what happened when they put a Catholic on the throne. You see, Brother Bill, Catholic Church doesn't believe that. I'm talking about the spirit behind it. Those 200,000 devils that were loose to the River Euphrates under Hitler. Same spirit of hell back there in Babylon, Brother Brandon talks about in the sixth seal. People don't want to recognize these things. Oh no, gloss it over. A prophet vindicated, oh, he's just some big mouth. God gave him ministry, and he just got too big for his britches, so God smeared him across the ground, teach a lesson. Oh, yeah, get. My merciful God, did God Almighty back that man's word up with his own name, God's own name? And that's all there is to God? Shee! Merciful God, I'm 76 years of age. I've lost my life. I shouldn't rather whoring around with the rest of them and gunning down the guys I don't like. What's the difference? I'm telling you the truth. Get them before they get you. Do before you're done. What's all this morality we're talking about? There ain't no morality. You turn down, thus saith the Lord, what do you got? You're dead 10 times dead. Don't stick around here pretending you believe it. I don't believe it half myself. And I believe it's stronger than you hardly any. Well, there are not too many men preach it like I do. Put it that way. God, they don't have, they don't believe vindication at all. The Bible said we get this lukewarm age. Lukewarm people's rights. Makes laws for us, of us. We send our men to Congress. They don't make the kind of laws that serve us. They make laws that serve themselves. Raise their wages, everything else. You talk about a mess. The church has left God's way. Now, you might hate me now, but one day you won't when you find out what's truth. You may disagree and get up and stomp out of the building. That just shows your illiteracy. But someday you'll realize, someday you'll long and know that it's the truth. I speak in the name of the Lord, and I'm telling you right here a prophetic thing. He said, there's going to come a day when you're going to wish you'd listen. Now, what? Now listen, what does that mean? It'd be too late. He's talking about the door of the ark being closed. You think those guys out there in the water came up to their chins and say, hey, I wish I'd listened to that old geezer? You know that dumb old church was right? We thought we explained everything you did by scientific measurement and the test tube and the micrometers and everything we could apply to. We knew that guy was wrong. He didn't have thus saith the Lord like he said, but he did. Now where's your cotton picking test tubes, micrometers, telescopes, microscopes, and God knows what? Your logarithmic tables, your calculators. Where's your atomic dividers? Splice the genes. Where is it? He said it's going to come. I can understand that. See, because he said it's the name I speak in the name of the Lord. He's telling you. That's Deuteronomy 18. See, put myself up for a target, which finally will drive me to the grave. I'm going to be witness till I die. And I told you there. Now, here's something right here. You know, I don't kill the living. William Branham, no William Branham. Truth, truth, Bible's Bible. I can't find what he said in the Bible. But my understanding is this. He saw in a vision a hole in his throat, which he took to be a bullet. Now, let's understand this flat. People have been killed for fighting the Catholic Church. The late Dr. Hoyer told me when I talked many years ago in a church in Chicago, Mitchell, remember, and Rose, up there, Dr. Hoyer was there. I struck hard against the Catholic Church because Brother Branham had, I simply being a parrot to what he said, call it a parrot, I call it that. In other words, I'm trying to go word by word what he said. He said, Brother Bill, he said, aren't you afraid to do that? I said, well, if there, I don't think so. I said, because God will help me somehow. I'm supposed to get it to get him. He told me about a young man out there in California. He knew positively very, very well. He was absolutely rabid against the Catholic Church on the grounds. He knew what they were into. He had been warned, you draw away from this or you will die for it. They had warned him. One day the man was so-called hit by a car. By the time his wife was informed, 8 hours later, he was already embalmed. So what do you think, sitting here tonight, all little dream? Brother Branham knew what was going on. He thought they would get him. That was a tracheotomy he saw. But you say, well, did the Lord interpret the vision? No, the Lord did not interpret the vision. Brother Branham could have any number of visions, but if God did not interpret them, it's like the Bible. What, son of man, what do you see? What he said, I see these cattle out here. They look thin. I see these cattle look fat. How many? Seven thin, seven fat. What he said, seven lean years, seven good years. What he said, I saw the leaning up the fat ones. He said, that's it. You could have a vision, you could have a dream, unless God told you what it was. How would you know? All he saw was his death. And because he knew what religion is doing, following the way history is going, he would draw this conclusion. So there it is. You can say what you want. Say, well, if he boo-booed there, he boo-booed everywhere. Well, that's your, you got your privilege. You believe what you want. I don't care. It's not going to change my faith in the Word of God because everything you preach, I find in the Bible. This is just about himself. Here we are in this condition. We are today. All of it going on like that. That's it. Old condition in Israel back there today in America. And Israel, how Ahab did a figurehead for Jezebel because he was married to her. America, our leader. You know our leader was a rich man? How many know that? A multimillionaire. Somebody told me in a magazine or radio or television something. Jack Benny, somebody, Ernie Ford, I believe it was. It's this joke he's trying to recall. Somebody said his father helped him get the two states he didn't own. That's true. They spent a lot of money on getting there. They all do. How do you think Metzenbaum keeps getting in here? If I had a good vote, I'd vote him out. He doesn't get a high as money. He comes from all the fancy Californian places. Read the records. Why is Metzenbaum in? He's a love-bound heathen. You arrest me if you want for saying it. I ain't got no use for the man. No use at all for him what he does. He's about as young as Adam is. Stephen's young. He put him in there. He got too old and he finally popped off, and so medicine bombs there, and he's not going to retire until he kicks the bucket, I suppose. But the records are clear. Where does he get his money? It isn't a Ahiam, honey. It's money from the outside. What interest have they got in our affairs in Ahiam? So it's a national thing you're looking at. You're looking at America nationally. Rotten politics. Backed by a filthy antichrist system. And you know as well as I do by now that the Roman religion is not a true religion. It has nothing to do with Almighty God. It is a concept of Christ. Completely infiltrated by heathenism. In fact, it is heathenism taking on respectability by saints' names. That's all they have to it. Then a man comes in with a funny mitre on his head with goofy robes, and he talks about the fisherman's ring and the tiara that he wears and the white robe, and he's going to be some great man. Oh, merciful God. Can I dress somebody up here? You got just as much right or more. Talk about buffoons. Actual buffoons. And people listen to it. This is on tape. I can't deny I said it. I said it's on two kinds of tape. I can back down. God give me strength to die if I have to die. I'm going to fool with it. He's nobody to me. He's a miscarriage of everything I could possibly believe as far as spiritual things are concerned. Now, the reason I said, how'd he get his money? Through whiskey. The whiskey trap, liquor. That's the reason he dropped the taxes on whiskey and stuff. That's what made him rich man. The very thing that damned our nation. The very thing that corrupted the minds of our people. The very thing that sent our boys to be drunkards and our girls to be prostitutes. The money off of that made him rich man. Yeah, but what about dope today? You know, money is the base of Roman religion. You can get anything you want if you pay for it. Well, they'll find a way to make sure that God's man gets through. They got Mary to call on, the Pope to call on. Oh, yeah. I'd like to see just one come back and tell me. It worked. You know, there's no proof of anything till William Branham gets back here, then you watch. In the meantime, we stand on a vindicated word. And if that doesn't get the dead back, I'm going to tell you one thing. Forget it. You forget it. I've got enough faith to believe that God that backed his own neighbor at least thousands and thousands of times has got enough of the ball to raise the dead. In fact, I know stinking well he could do it. The record is Lazarus was resurrected. He wasn't just raised from the dead. He was resurrected. He stunk. His body was gone. So it was 45 minutes. All right. Same old thing, that old Jezebel system. The same thing that persecuted our people. The same thing that dragged them out and burnt them and pulled them apart and did everything to them. The same blood of the martyrs, the Bible says, is in her. There they are married together, and we Americans stagger right on. Oh, well, we got a few extra dollars. We're having a good time, better off than the rest of the nation. But, brother, you just wait a minute. They're broken. They don't even know. Brother Branham had told us, I think it was, he said, the 40 generations or 14 generations down the road were saddled with our debt way back there in about 1960. What's it got today? It's all wrong. Now, listen, right in here, in them is the same blood of the martyrs. Now, over there in Revelation chapter 17 is where it is, as I recall. And it says here, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now listen, this was the church that under the red beast was shedding the blood of the martyrs. Under the spirit, the face of the calf, sacrificial. This degraded monster is now turning into a fabulous institution to really help everybody. No longer is it going to be the platitudes of the rich, the theories of the intelligentsia. It is going to be a real society dictated by a real moral man who doesn't claim to be spiritual. That would blow it. He claims to be moral and geopolitical, which means a world figure, world structure. And he's going to do it. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. So was Cain's sacrifice. Absolutely a beautiful sacrifice. It was excellent. Now, remember this book that Roger got us interested in. Dr. Malachi Martin. The keys of this blood. What are the keys to the blood they talk about? I haven't read the book yet. I got it. Proper pages. That's all I've got. Even the first two pages were tremendously exciting, let alone I know the rest of the book. But just thinking, what's he talking about? The keys to this blood. Well, I suppose he thinks the Roman Catholic Church is the blood of the universe, and I guess it is as far as commerce is concerned. And they think they got the keys to it, but they're wrong. They don't open the door to heaven and shut it. No church has that ability because no church is Christ. The system of organization will not work because it's a binding of a society where the kingdom of God, you're born into it one at a time. You can't come in as a body. The Methodists will not be there. The Catholics will not be there. The Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, and Branhamites will not be there. You better believe that. Going to be only true sons of Almighty God with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we know because we have the vindicated word we believe in. It's a dire prophecy that Brother Branham makes, but it's true. Let's take it letter by letter now for the next few minutes to see what happened. The leaders, the preachers, got right along and sneaked down with them. Went right down with them, with them, all the system. In other words, back in Jezebel's day, the Levites, the priesthood, went right along with him. Now, if you read, and you have read the Bible, your mind will reel as you think of Israel. How could they do it? Well, let your mind reel tonight. How could we do it? In the very beginning, they were off balance. In the very Eden of God, the government of God, earth, Satan walked in and took over. In the first church, they walked in and took over. In Rome, they booted out the two Jewish people, the man and the wife who went there as witness under Claudius. What is it? Junius and Priscilla, I forget anyway. Booted them out. From that time on, heathenism took over. But all in the name of God. They got rid of the old gods. They put saints' names up there. Constantine saw it was a good thing. His mother was supposed to be some kind of a Christian. He was supposed to have some kind of a dream. So he took the society and gave them privileges. Guaranteed it. That's why it's wrong to go beyond a local charter. Can't send out preachers. Can't do this, can't do that. If they want to get ordained here, they're part of us. They're on their own. We have no holdings anywhere but right here. No interest anywhere but right here, except for the sake of the gospel, do something for somebody. But always, you see, it always happens. And if this went on in this church for 25, 30 years, it's 10 to 1, we'd have nothing but a bunch of backslidden boobs here. I hate to insult any young people's feelings. But I'm just warning you as kindly as I can. Hey, I know the record. You know the record. Then why suddenly sit down and act as though we're dumb, deaf, and blind? What, did you see that 800-foot airplane go by? Well, you see, I'm so used to seeing 1,000-foot airplanes go by that I never even look at an 800-foot. Is that the condition we're in? We're just too used to things? Just drift with the time? The greatest immorality in the world is drifting with the time. That's what dead fish do. Yeah. Anybody can shoot fish in a barrel. That's why they organize. Get the upper hand. All the time claiming we're going to do you good, going to do you good, going to do you good. What higher claim could a church make than doing you good, get you into heaven, say, you come with us, we're going to get you to heaven. Oh, you belong to us, you got it made. What have I ever told you people you got it made? I don't know if I got it made. By faith we believe. We got no corner in anything. If you're part of his children, you're part of his children. That's divine right. We got nothing to do with that. I never named my parents, and you nor name yours. It's not a matter of us claiming God, it's God claiming us. Sure. So the whole system went down the drain. As it's going today with Runcie giving the Anglican Church over. Lutherans have already broken down all the walls. Imagine, Luther came out. And they've gone back faster than the Anglicans. Where's Lutherans today? Where's anybody today? All right, they had a form, yes. That doesn't mean the Bible, and doesn't the Bible tell us that in the last day we'll have a form of godliness? All prophecies are fulfilled, brother. Now, what's a form of godliness? Well, look, a form, you could say a form of godliness, well, what is a form? Well, a form is a system, an organization. See? It's got government interference. Today, a form of godliness, pure and simple, means it isn't what is purported to be. In little ways, it acts like it, talks like it, but it's not it. See, it's merely a form, like a husk, a shell, and it's not even got the proper form to it. They got a form, but denying the authority, the power thereof. Now, our forefathers came here, and they were not Catholics. Oh, there were some Catholics came along, that's true. They came here in order to get away from the system, the whole thing, and then they got sucked right back into it. We're at the end, Brother Branham says. Nationally, we're at the end. Spiritually, we're at the end. Every system is at its end. The next thing is the coming, Lord, the translation of the church. In other words, bankrupt leadership over bankrupt people has brought us to the place where there's nothing left. We have simply a Babylonian system in America. And it's a pity, and it happened so fast. 84, God sent every sign, wonder, and did everything he could do to try drawing the people, and constantly they moved right on in. That's the system. Look at this town here. Look at this country round about here. Tens of thousands, hundreds of Pentecostal people. And because of standing on the truth, where are they at this afternoon? Because someone told them not to cooperate with the meeting. They couldn't go to Brother Brown's meeting because the preacher said don't go. You poor deliberate. I guess he could have called them something. I don't know. God be merciful to you. It's the only thing I can say. When you Christians got no more backbone than that, you've got a wishbone instead of a backbone, right? What we need is to preach the gospel with teeth in it that'll chop the thing to pieces. Went just like the rest of them. Then you wonder why we holler about it. Then you see you got the cold shoulder. I expect it. I have to. Now, this is what you might call the false love of silence. Where people don't rise up and say something about it. They haven't got the backbone to stand up to organization. But they'll hide behind the thing called love. Oh, if that man was really love, he wouldn't try to divide us. Oh, no, he'd bring us together. Well, merciful heaven, that's what the devil does. God divides. He separates the serpent seed from the true seed. The make-believer from the unbeliever from the believer. There's he even separates the wise and the foolish virgin. He's a separator. But no, this little thing called love, you know, you mustn't raise your voice. You mustn't stand for the truth. Now, Brother Branham said, what we need is to preach a gospel with teeth in it that'll chop things to pieces. Now, that statement, hey, that statement is used by every church. Bless God, if you just take what we got, we'll chop her to pieces. Hogwash. If it isn't vindicated, it hasn't got teeth in it. Because the Word of God is a sharp threshing instrument. It's a sword. And unless it is the Word of God, it's not going to do the job. And the Word of God's got to have a logos, which is a manifestation in flesh, which means people have a gospel to preach, which is vindicated. Nothing else will do it. And the people will not believe it. Why? Because they've been taught against it. And their final refuge is the devil. Is not this the son of David? What do you mean? Well, look at the miracles. My heaven, you seen anything like it? Look how the man talks. Look how he lives. Look at everything. Oh. Well, what do you think is going to come with? I believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's going to take over. And they said, just a minute. He don't take over nothing over my dead body. I say he's the devil. They wouldn't let their tree of the knowledge of good and evil go. Because the tree of life demanded the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil seeks. Now, do you think they're going to give up their creature comforts and their big positions? Come on, they won't even get their stupid pensions. I've been independent all my life. And I don't have faith in another man's pocketbook or any church's discipline or any order. God's taken care of me through the rough times and the good times. David said, I've been young, now I'm old yet. I've never seen your righteous forsaken nor your seed begging bread. Brother Branham quotes that, and that's exactly true. Sure, they gave him the cold shoulder. They'll give us the cold shoulder too, and don't think we're not getting it. All this went on in Israel. Finally, one day came stomping out of the wilderness, came a hairy old-looking fellow, Elijah the Tishbite. I'm told that the statue on Mount Carmel of Elijah looks exactly like Brother Branham described him. He never saw the statue, and nobody saw Elijah either. But the inspiration was there, just exactly as Brother Branham described him. He never came up out of any organization. He came out of the wilderness. See, that's where he was. He had nothing to do with them. He was a prophet of the Lord. Brother, he shook that Jezebel kingdom for everything that was in it. They hated him. He had no cooperation. I'll guarantee you that. The Bible says not. Certainly, he made those painted face Jezebels burn up, I imagine. He laid the axe to the root of the trees like John did. The chips fall wherever they wish to, but he laid her in there. He shook the nation, showing that they were wrong and trying to call them back to a true and living God and back to his word instead of a Jezebel worship. In other words, he had a Mount Carmel showdown. What was Mount Carmel? How many people even knew about it? News would travel very slowly. How many found out in a hurry? Queen of Sheba took, what, 3 solid months traveling day and night to get where she came? They never had Pony Expresses, hardly any fast camels. Who knew about the showdown? Hardly anybody knew about it. When they didn't know about it, why, there was lots of chance now to disbelieve. They don't have to believe. You don't have to believe anything you hear. You're not obligated. So what good did it do? Never cut any big swath, Mount Carmel. But it did with the children of God and the destiny of God's government on earth. And the same thing in Chicago. And Brother Branham had the showdown up there over water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and one God. What his ministry was. But they didn't take him on. And he told me, he said, you had more sense than I thought you did. I wonder how they liked that. They didn't even know what he's talking about. They didn't know he'd carry the first gun feet first if he didn't come against it. People don't believe that today. See, they don't know that's the anger of God lingering. The judgment of God hanging like Damocles' sword in the balance, ready to fall at the given moment. And they don't know till the flood comes and takes them away. So what do you expect out of anybody? Who's going to know? The elect will know. Nobody else will know. You should thank God tonight, no matter what you came out of. Thank God you came out. Now get the crap out of you that was in you when you're in there. Because that's what it is. Creeds and dogmas and junk. No other people that can't understand Brother Branham. They can't understand me, and yet I take these words and bring it to them in a way they ought to understand it. I speak the fundamental language. No, there's too much crud in there. Too much death. You'll never understand while you keep your Pentecostal ideas, your Methodist ideas. You've got to get back to the Word. The Word means vindicated Word. Corrected Word, not something somebody hashes up and says, well, I believe this because the Bible said so. Oh, fat. They've been believing what the Bible says for centuries. It's simply a tongue worship, a mouth worship. Nothing in the heart to back it. What did they do? Did they receive him? They hated him. But his word went forth just the same. Because he had thus saith the Lord. Now notice, the word could only go forth because of thus saith the Lord. The word cannot do one thing in your heart unless you understand vindication. You stand with it. Could be lots more things about before it's over. You say, well, I wonder if Brother Branham was vindicated. What about this guy predicted the earthquake, Browning? I think he hit about 6 on the head. But this one failed. He didn't go with what do they call that? It's a Spanish name, not Madras, but that fault. Doesn't matter any, you know what it is. Now listen, Brother Branham kept saying, when did it ever fail? When did you find him in one prophecy, one word ever out with thus saith the Lord? I never realized how important his statement was till I found this guy made about, he predicted the one in Japan, the one in the Philippines, one over here, one over there. Now he comes and said it's going to happen right over here in Arkansas, Missouri area. 20 miles, the epicenter would be, the fault would be where Doc Cashley. School's closing up, people running away, everything else. Now, he had six shots, and he was acclaimed a great guy. Of course, a lot of skepticism. And I can understand it. All it takes is one failure. Brother Brand didn't have one out of thousand. See, you're standing on vindication. God worked with him. He showed he was the anointed prophet by the things that he said were coming to pass. Deuteronomy 18, vindication. All that he did proved that he was God's prophet. He never did anything else but. But they would not believe it because he tore up their playhouses. I'd spell that W-H-O-R-E instead of P-L-A-Y myself. Because they've all played the harlot. But they are playhouses. He told them they were wrong. Ahab was a roustabout, true. And you notice they didn't believe Elijah, but he preached it just the same. None of the preachers agreed with him. He said, I'm the only one that's left, Lord. Look at them. They won't even come. Nobody will cooperate. Now, this is what Israel could not believe. There was no way that they could believe Elijah was the one man that was authoritative. They could not believe that Jesus was the one man that was authoritative. That's after John went off the scene. They could not believe that Paul was authoritative. Do you think for 1 minute they'll believe that William Branham was authoritative? No way will they believe. They can't. You can't contradict history, brother, sister. It's written out there in black and white, engraved in stone by pins of iron. No one will cooperate. Nobody wanted his gift. A true healing revival showed there was a great message. But they didn't want it. But he had a mission to do, and he did it. He had the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And he attacked the nation. He attacked the church. He attacked everything there was, and God was with him. Now, back in Israel's day, because it was wholly committed to the religion of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, right on down, till heathenism came in, and he went to one people only, not a melting pot, Israel simply bankrupt. There was a possibility that he would be listened to. And he attacked them from every point of view, which was the nation and the church. And they didn't listen. How much chance do you think William Branham would have if he indeed was Elijah, attacking America and the world? He'd be called a complete kook. And the do-gooders, the ones that are intelligent, so-called, the ones that are spiritual, so-called, the ones that are in the know, they are the moderates, they are the real guiding lights. They'd say, now, just a minute, let us come and talk if you really have something. Lay it on the table and talk with us. And then if you pass our test, we will put you forward. Now, how could you put him forward when the Church of Christ sat there saying there's no such thing as divine healing, it's of the devil? How's the Catholic Church going to put him forward when the Pope says, I'm the vicar of Christ and I'm infallible, and the man proves the Pope was a liar? William Branham didn't waste his time. He'd have been an idiot. He'd have been a fool. You know, I'm not a lover of chicken entrails. And you couldn't put them on my plate and say, eat them. Why should I come to your house if you said, I'm going to feed you chicken entrails? What's chicken guts if you all know what entrails mean? Do you think the prophet was stupid? He wanted to go to a chicken gut dinner? A table full of vomit? What do you think thus saith the Lord means? If you can't, listen, he thought he was going to die for it. If you and I can't die for it, thus saith the Lord, there's something wrong with our faith somewhere. So I really don't want to die. Well, I'm not too fussy either. I'd still like to, you know, have fairly good health when I pass off the scene, but it might not be my privilege. They could skewer me. How do I know what they're going to do? He said a person's curation is going to come on down. They can catch you any way they want to catch you. When has this nation, over the last years, not stooped to what they call suborning witnesses, which means bring witnesses under their control for money to deliberately lie against you? If I say I saw you in my home, and you can't prove that you're someplace else, you're stuck, kid. That's just an ordinary court. What if they want to nail us? You think they can't nail us? Well, you're reading some other book than what I'm reading, I can tell you that. What time we got? I think it was time to quit. All right, we'll start tomorrow morning where we're at. You can see this is a tough sermon Brother Branham preached at the Pentecostal. They didn't like it. And they liked the way I'm describing it a whole lot more. I'm not trying to make these punchlines all the better. What knowledge we've gathered in 25 years since he's gone off the scene. Remember, it's just about 25 years the next few days. Another 18 days. 16 days, 8 today. A little better than 2 weeks. Prophet's been gone. And you can see everything he said has come to pass with a vengeance. But remember, God says, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. The blood of the martyrs in the church. What happens to us, I don't know. I don't know. But I know one thing. We better be ready for whatever's going to happen. Fortify ourselves in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And there's only one way you and I can do it, and that's by the word. Remember, brother, sister, when they stood before the Sanhedrin, the courts brought them to attention. They stood there with the word. And the court marveled. But they didn't change their minds. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given us together to talk about the wondrous word your prophet laid down here with us, saith the Lord. I know we don't know it as he knew it, Father. I know we're not getting near as much as we should to the depth of the contents as we should be. Impact, Lord, of what's really gone on. To see ourselves, maybe we don't need to, Lord. I don't know. We're trusting you, O God. We've come this far believing. And there's no evidence, there's no sign whatsoever that we should ever back away from thus saith the Lord, the vindicated word. Neither do we back away tonight from the word of God. We cannot do it, Lord. Help us to stand no matter what it is, not to be bumptious, not to be aggressive, but Lord, to stand with the word and denounce that which is unholy and wrong, and to take our stand with truth. Not that we're anybody condemning anybody, but Lord, we're standing with that word, and we see in history, we see even today, how that word was treated, what was done by others. And Father, we have a right to do that. The prophet did it. We have a vindicated word. Help us, Father God, now to live that word with the gentle fruit of the Spirit of love and meekness. All these things are in the fruit of God. Whatever gifts you care to give us, we're interested in those too, Lord, no matter what it is. We want your fullness in any way we can have it, Father. The grace of God manifested and we being known, Lord, as witnesses to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to start the communion service and foot washing now by going again to Corinthians, which we usually read, along with usually John. Taking the 11th chapter there again, 23rd verse, "For I have received the Lord that which also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this to remember to me." Now, the Apostle Paul really is explaining what the communion is all about. What he's doing, he's telling them exactly what God told him. He's not holding anything back from them. He's sharing with them what he knows to be true. And this is how we look at the prophet's message at this time. The same pillar of fire that brought this to Paul, the same pillar of fire, revealed it to us through the prophet at the end time, telling us these things, especially concerning the cup of the blood, the broken body. And he took the cup and supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Brother Branham said that the blood perfects the bride. And that's true. Because if you go back to the beginning, to your origin, this gentleman that wrote Roots, very outstanding, he is a very outstanding author, very excellent book, did a great job. He went back to his roots. What did he find? Humanity. That's nice. Makes a good story. A lot of people have done that. Family trees. Take it right back. In Australia and New Zealand, especially Australia for a while there, they were having a great ball. And if you could trace your ancestry back to the wickedest, rottenest, crook, pirate, brigadier, but not brigadier, brigand, immoral scuzzball, why, you had the best name in society. See, taking your roots back is all right if you want to do it. Satisfies human being. But this takes your roots back to God. Because if the blood scatters sin, which it does, and the blood perfects the bride, which it does, then you have to understand, in the first place, you had to be a son of God. And all you needed was the blood to perfect you. In other words, put you in the position of restoration. And what does the Holy Ghost do? Seals you and gives you the understanding of the Word so you can't be tricked like Eve. Now you're in a far greater position. Your sonship has been sealed to the day of redemption. That's what it says in Ephesians 1:13-14. Your sonship, you've been sealed unto the day of redemption, which means you're guaranteed what Adam lost for you. See? As Brother Branham said, one day you'll realize you always were saved. My Brother Branham took it right back, and I know theologians, well, they'll turn blue in the face. My, the people that are really spiritual, they are going to gag in their own their righteous indignation, where Brother Branham said he was in Christ atoning for his sins. Oh, they're not going to like that one little bit. But I prefer to believe a prophet than somebody that's smug, self-righteous individual doesn't mean anything to me. Can't give me anything. Can't prove anything. I was with a man who could prove things. Why do I want to be about a bunch of idiots that think they got something and can't prove anything? So, Brother Bill, I got $100. Dig it out of your wallet. Let me see if you got $100. Come on, produce your bank account. See what you got. Don't talk to me what you got. You could be a complete nut. Maybe you are. Maybe I am. I mean, we shoot our mouth off. Anything goes. You blab, blab, blab. That's what's wrong, church. Blab, blab, blab. This man proves something. Now, you taking communion, you are recognizing the body was bruised and broken, and it had to be in order to shed the blood, but not a bone was broken. In other words, the skeletal structure upon which the body hangs, nothing happened to it per se. In other words, the strength. Nothing was destroyed. Blood was shed. And so now as we partake the emblems, especially the blood, we are attributing, confessing, confirming, witnessing to everybody, the blood is perfecting me as a son of God, because I am a son of God. And if you're not a son of God, you shouldn't be taking the communion. And the only way you know you're a son of God is to believe the Word. And you stand right with vindication. And even though you can't prove the vindication, because the people, they won't listen anyway, and they weren't there, what can you do? Give witness? I'll say, well, you might have been deceived. You know, you might have turned your head. You know, come on. When a so-called smart man wants to deal you, he'll deal you. The word is shafted, I think, isn't it? Below the rib, any place else they want to get you, they'll get you. You can't discuss these things in the realm of the mind. This is a realm of the faith. So the blood perfects. Well, let's let that sink in. That's a very deep statement. How can the blood perfect unless there's something there that has within it the qualifications of perfection? Can I take blood and pour it over a statue and the statue talk? Can I now take holy water and pour it over a woman who's had three marriages and she's a virgin? Because the Catholic priest said so. Can I now take members on my slate in the church like the Protestants do? Every morning, at least the Catholics are a little bit tougher. They have their catechism all to go through and little ceremonies. But the Protestants, take my hand, you're in, bless God. They're worse than the Catholics. Can you talk to those people? Can you share and tell them anything? There's no way. Will they understand what I'm saying tonight? Oh, they think they do. But they cannot claim, because the majority, even the Calvinists, will not go back to claiming their actual participation in God as a part of God. No, you're just God's creation, God's children. You all went fooey haywire. When the night the Lord came by and lifted you. That's not Bible. sons. He stands amongst the sons. The blood, therefore, then perfects us. All sin is washed away. There's no sin. The sin is virtuous. Bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show how it came about. By a death. So what? A lot of people die. You know, it's possible that some people died believing Jesus and in worse shape than Jesus was. Smitten, flogged, flesh lacerated, bones broken, burnt. What does that mean? They just died horrible death. You're looking at something different here. You're looking, as Brother Branham said, the life was in the blood. And when the life left the blood, it came back upon us in the form of the Spirit. You're looking at something far different than just somebody dying. You're looking at this was needful, which we don't understand. But it's needful, and it's ours, and we accept it. And we accept it in the truth of which it is, which makes other people gasp. They can't understand our understanding. I got news for you. You're not supposed to. Because if they understood it, it means that you misunderstood it. I said for years, and I say again, if I'm preaching as Brother Branham did, word for word, and I'm trying it. For a long time, I said, there's too many believing what I'm supposed to believe. I find out they're not believing it. They haven't got a clue. And the cute little things they're saying, I'm Joshua now. Did you know you folk presented me with the car on the 50th anniversary in honor of Joshua? When they found that was a lie, they said, no, it's on the sidewalk, where there's no sidewalk. And I didn't get a car. I got a check. That's thousands of miles from here. Did the prophet say the truth, or did he say the truth? They're not going to like what I got. Listen, if they like what I got, then I got something wrong. The prophet lied. I'm not trying to make enemies of people, and I'm not trying to boast them. I'm just trying to lay on and let you know. Listen, you people smarten up and believe. Not for me. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. But I tell you the truth, and I don't lie to you. The blood perfects. Perfects only children, because in the beginning they are perfect. They fell into sin. Now, the blood removes it all. Now, if every error is gone, every sin is gone, what's left? Perfection. Scattering sin to be no evidence. What are they going to come against you with? They can't, but we'll be little attorneys on that day and men standing in witness. And the judgment will not blow us away, but it'll blow the chaff away. You're taking more than just emblems this night, brother, sister. You're taking what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just have our minds renewed once and for all? Isn't it funny to get this, well, what it is, it's like a, how will I describe it? A loaf of bread uncooked like a hunk of dough up here. And a sort of a pressure here that doesn't want to give way. I'm human, you're human too. You know what I'm talking about. How come? There's the Armageddon fight. There's the greatest battle going on right now. Whether you feel it, or whether your mind can even think it, it doesn't matter. It was proven. If he said it backed up by God, God said it. And God and his word is one. As God cannot fail, his word cannot fail. Neither has the blood failed. And tonight the Holy Spirit's with us, not in this building here. God in the form of the Holy Ghost and pillar of fire came down, brought the message. Is now taking head of the church to bring the dead out, to change the last believers, take us away. That's what this supper signifies tonight, brother, sister. Because Paul said, I got it by revelation, and the same Holy Ghost that gave it to him is here tonight, was with the prophet, vindicating himself entirely that this is the truth. Let's rise at this time. And those that serve, please come forward right away. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that not by our shouting, not by oration, not by many fine words, not by trying to attempt to coerce people, convince people, will make us right in what we say, but we know we had a vindicated prophet, and we know that he is right when he said the blood of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate tonight, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the broken body. Absolutely within that lies the power which removes sin, destroyed it completely, took it away to be no evidence, perfecting the bride. We stand on that tonight, Lord. Help us to really stand on it. Oh God, in your power tonight is the life of that word that we have in our minds to go right down into our souls and then come blasting into our hearts and out of our mouths, perfected by the blood, completely righteous, deliberately by Almighty God Himself. Here we stand, vindicated by thus saith the Lord, nothing in our hands we bring. We don't have to bring anything in our hands. Nothing on our feet. It doesn't matter where we come, what we got, what we've accomplished. Those things don't matter. But we have a word in our mouth, Lord, a testimony that says this is truth. And that's all we need. I believe that tonight, Father. At least it's all we can produce. And we're leaving you, Lord, to do the rest, to give us whatever we have need of. As we partake of them tonight, Lord, let it be thus, let it be so. Let there not be one feeble person amongst us. Let there not be one, Lord, whose anxieties and cares overcome. But let the strength of God suffuse our hearts and our minds, Lord God, until the sick amongst us are healed. But above all, the spiritual impact leads us to a higher elevation we've had ever before. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and give praise. Amen and amen.